Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
About you all week, and we pray that tonight when you get together with all of us, your second family, that we'll raise those expectations. And then we really hope that through your creativity and the community that you live in, you'll go out and raise the expectations of all your friends and neighbors, because that's the great American way, and that's the glow God gives us inside to share the love of Christ with others. Hey, we got a great show tonight, and we always start the same way because somebody said you're a preacher of habit. I said, yeah, that too, but also people like to know everybody once we start the show. So, and there's not a week goes by that somebody doesn't say, now, who was that guy again? I say, how can you forget that? They impact me. They're incredible. So I'm Pastor Joe, and I want to introduce you right off the bat to Dr. Paul Hall, my friend of over 50 years. Paul has been he's a retired pastor, but not a retired theologian. He's a teacher. He's loved by thousands of people because all week long he is busy, folks.
Theologing.
Theologing. And that's the key word right there, theologing. You got it, brother. All right. Love you, man. Okay. So also, we have all, now that's in California out here with us. All the way across the nation on the East Coast, we have two very, very special people, Stephanie and Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie and Craig live in Dalton, Georgia, all the way on the East Coast, and they moved there just a while ago. Stephanie and Craig are in the business of helping people in so many ways. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach. She lets them know what they should eat and what they shouldn't eat. But don't worry, December, we get to have fudge. But moving right along, she teaches them in good shape. And she also shares with them what they need to know about who they are, because once you know who you are in Christ, you're able to better understand who you can become because of him and what you do. And also, Dr. Craig, you are just a blessing to all of us, brother. What a great guy you are. A surgeon, and like we always say, a trauma surgeon. He's the one when you don't know what to expect, that's where they put you with Dr. Craig. So, Craig, if anything ever happened to me, I say it every week, we right. want to be with you and make sure that we're safe with you. Right, guys?
There. Okay. Don't worry about a thing.
Yeah, we don't worry about a thing. That's right. All right. And also from the center, wherever that was called, the center of the nation, let's move it back now to Central America, the state of Texas. we have with us the esteemed Pastor Ron Greer, a man of so many trades. We love this guy. He's our brother in Christ. He's been a pastor. He's run for Congress. He's done so many things. We'll just have to have another show. If you missed that show, have a rerun. Go in the archives. Hear all about it. Love you, Ron. So glad you're here, brother. Welcome back from Chicago. You had a great week.
Is your audio on?
Amen. Can you hear me?
On your
mute. Great week, but full week, but yes, good time.
Okay, you can hear me okay? Good. I'm highly technical, you know. I'm going with NASA on the next space trip. But anyway, I'm the guy they dangle at the end to say that's what you don't do right there.
Supposed to be cool. I could make
it. No, no. What was that tank?
That'd be like a Lost in Space episode.
Lost.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah, remember that.
Danger.
Yeah. Somebody call Dr. Tank quick. Get him. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, now that we've been extremely somber, very serious, and incredibly intellectual to begin this program, we want to go back to where we're coming from. We got a really special guest tonight, and I'm going to let her introduce her husband also and family. Linda Johnstone Allen is well known here in California. She is, as you read, an incredible artist, I believe fourth generation. Her dad was a great guy who was one of the main artists at USC, University of Southern California, in that department. Linda's been artistic since I've known her, which is so many years. We knew each other in the sixth grade. I mean, that is like way back before Moses going around Mount Sinai, like we said.
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that? Linda is an artist, a teacher. She has, Linda, tell maybe about your girls, two wonderful daughters, and her husband, Terry. He's a terrific guy. And maybe just a little bit about who you are, and then we're going to talk about creativity and community. Thanks, Linda. Let's welcome her.
Okay.
Jazz hands.
There you go. I'll have to get my husband from his back radio room. He's in charge of the dogs, you know. So he has to keep the boys in line. So Terry, you can join in and say hi. He's saying
I'm just taking care of the animals to keep the noises away from Linda.
Good to see you, Terry.
He's the engineer.
I'm the engineer. Yeah, aerospace for 50 years, so everything's still flying, so I'm happy.
Yes, I remember when he used to get calls in the middle of the night because things weren't flying. and we had to, go out to the plant and, see what was wrong. And, he had to figure out whatever they made that was on the plane. wasn't working or something.
Nice low stress job.
Low stress job. Yes. That's why he's retired now. He's the creative engineer side of the family, which is what I'm going to discuss too. Living in an artistic family, just growing up in it. I mean, both my parents, met at the Chicago Art Institute. And then my mom was also a pianist. She was taking lessons for that and really ended up, she said she decided she didn't want to really play in front of concerts. No, too stressful. So she chose the art but I was surrounded with it and they taught there for a while, then came out to California and then he picked USC. A lot of them migrated out of the cold. He said, I can't stand the snow anymore. It's making me ill. I've got to get out of here. And so he came to California, did a lot of his cohorts and got jobs at USC, Parsons, the Disney school now, which I guess was Parsons or Chouinard's. Anyway, there are a lot of schools to pick from. And he picked USC. And he actually ended up being my professor and my counselor, which was not as good as it sounds. Because you're always on the spot. And you're not living up to your expectations, perhaps. And there we are, just trying to, okay, I'm just trying to get through, Dad. But I was very lucky because both my parents were my teachers and we were surrounded with art, them creating. I mean, my mom was my painting teacher for sure. I mean, she's just excellent. Mm. And because my painting teacher didn't know what he was doing, so I said, Mom, how do I do this? And our whole house was filled with things that were from around the world, although they didn't go around the world. They just got things that got here in America, and they would go without eating sometimes to buy something during the depression to have it, to get this artifact that was just wonderful. So I was surrounded by different cultures all the time. I mean, there were masks from Africa. There were like Kuan Yins from China. There were you know, Scandinavian things. He was very big on folk art because he felt it was really the people's art and that came from their heart. And they often decorated their homes themselves. They wove their carpets, their rugs. They painted their walls, stenciled their walls. They made their own pottery. He just felt it really came from their inner soul. And so the whole family is very much involved in folk art. We did a show, a four-generation show, now I guess it's 2 years ago. With the COVID, everything is a blur. Right. You know, it's just a blur. Yes. I was trying to find the card, and I'll think of the name, but it was really about the innovative folk thing. So we had the local art center invited us to do the show, and I had one corner. My daughter Candace and my granddaughter Sophie had another corner, and then my folks had another corner and we picked their artworks. And then my other daughter Mindy, with my mother-in-law, her art took another corner because my youngest daughter Mindy followed her footsteps in animation area. My mother-in-law was with Disney in the very early days.
Wow.
When they did, the women mainly did ink and paint. Mm. They were not top dog people.
They got paid good.
I have to say that about Walt, you know, but it was a great experience. And my daughter Mindy was influenced by her. So she now does stuff for Disney, but she's an independent. Mm. And she got, a friend of mine got her involved in certain schools that didn't cost so much money. and she was a mentor. This friend was a mentor to my daughter, Mindy, about animation and drawing. And they learn, it's a school where you learn from the professionals. If mm-hmm. the animators, they animate and do things and direct during the day, and at night they go to this school. It's actually in North Hollywood, where they teach young people how to really, really how to draw, how to do characterizations, do all kinds of things. And her skills went off the chart once she went there. Wow. And but all this to say, being around the arts, and there was music going on. I was talking with Joe about how important it is that creativity can help people during COVID and during it and coming out of it and finding their gifts and elaborating on them, trying to make a whole new job. Because they have to find their gifts, I think, to be really geared and jazzed about going forward these particular days. I mean, there's been so many people that have been locked up that have been gotten depressed, very depressed. And they, again, you talked about, you know, people being in fear. They can't feel like can't go out. But they have to have enough faith in themselves, I think, to take the leap, to go out there and do things that are in their soul. Which brings me to, I feel creativity comes, of course, from our creator. I mean, we come from a creative source. It just, I mean, this universe is fantastic. It's just absolutely amazing. And if people don't notice that, it's just so sad. So I keep kind of spread this around that this is what I learned at home too, was that you have to find those gifts that you were given. And I think you're given multiple gifts. Sometimes it really zings out of somebody. They just got to do this, you know, and go grab a hold of it and do it. Sometimes it takes a lot of times to sort out what it is that seems to really set them on fire. I'm not interested in making anybody a Michelangelo here, you know, or a Leonardo. I love them to bits, you know, I really, but I feel that creativity and your gifts are not just relegated, you know, to visual art or musical art. There's medical art. There's mechanical art. My husband, Terry, he, I don't know. He makes stuff out of nothing. You know, oh, what's this? Oh, this is one of my daughters. She does stuff for Disney, of course. And through a company, he had to throw this in here. It's under Miss Mindy. If you go look, she's really quite quirky. For Disney, it's as much as they will let her be quirky. I mean, when she would put a bow tie on Mickey Mouse, I think it's on here. Yes, bow tie. That was almost a no-no. So they have strict guidelines. And so she's done a lot of things for them that have turned out vinyls. And they make them over in China, of course. She wishes they weren't.
She
actually went to China to see what the company was doing to make her things, these vinyls, and some of them are quite tall. And she said, I want to go on the, when she left Hong Kong, she said, I want to go on the train over into China and see what I can see about the people and, you know, about the situation there. So she was allowed to talk to the people that owned the company and some of the higher ups, but she was not allowed to talk with the people actually making it, which was interesting. And one of her mentors, another one, his name is Jim Shore. And I don't know if anybody's ever gotten any of his pieces, but he's an artist that started out by whittling figures. And he has a, you know, worldwide following with his things. And he came up to Mindy at a Disney convention, and Mindy and her husband had made a chess set of the White Queen and Alice and the Red Queen, and it was really quite something. And a collector bought it for lots of bucks. And Jim left his card and said, here, call me. And she, she called him, and he set her up with a lawyer and a licensing agent, and the company now that makes her stuff makes his. And it was, you know, this is the God-given serendipitous thing, you know, that happened. It just, things kept, she kept working and it kept happening. And so she's still, she does a lot of her own promotion, especially during COVID. Since everything just kind of went down, she said, okay, I have to do shows. I have to do Comic-Con with one friend and not 100,000 people at this convention. And they had so much fun. It was great. We all got to wear costumes. I was invited to be in the crowd in the Zoom thing. So I had puppets, I did puppets or a hat. Artists are a fun bunch. You know, they kind of let loose, you know, with what they want to do. At their wedding, they decided they wanted to have all their friends wear costumes. Of course they wore costumes, you know, they looked like they came out of the fairy forest, and everybody really loved it. And we redid the backyard where Terry grew up, and that's the house that they live in. and we redid it for them. And my son-in-law built a whole Hobbit house for it to be the centerpiece of this thing. And she had wings. Of course she had wings, you know, fairy wings and fairy musician type people. No, actually they came from the Renaissance fair, and everybody had a ball. They just, yeah, those kinds of people, they do take a leap. The people in the arts, you have to take a leap of faith, really. And I believe this really all comes from the source of whence you came. And once you realize that, and you put your faith, your hopes and your trust in that area, you start going forth. It doesn't mean it's easy, really. It can be really rough and nasty. Sometimes, yeah, in the art world, you get really nasty. You know, to use the God-given gifts is so important.
You said a couple of things there that were so cool. I wanted to toss it out there to them. You know, when you were sharing with me about the God-given gifts and things, I immediately think of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, you know, where the Bible says that we're called to use the gift God gives us and the gifts of God's grace, like you're talking about, which they're different for everybody. He's an awesome God. Yeah. But there's supernatural abilities there that God has given, and we're supposed to use it. The general idea then is to bless others, but it also carries that we're supposed to use them not for our own benefit, but to do other things. And Steph, how's that, Steph? Guys and Steph, that was good. When I read this verse and I remembered something, I'd like Linda address that, throw some questions to her on this. It was really something. A picture that I saw of her, they're in Eagle Rock, using your gift to bless others. You were beautifying. It was like the old Glendale High days when we could paint the gym and do things, all the students and things. But you were taking these kind of a very classy word, ugly places. Yeah, and were turning them into artwork on the street. They were like power boxes. People driving by going, wow, that's my city. That's Eagle Rock, and that's where I live in. And look what they have done. And I thought, they must be blessed by that. And, you know, folks, that's kind of an example of that, because, you know, I took art. She remembers that Glendale High, and everything I drew, it was like when I took shop, you know, everything that I did in shop, I just slice on and call it an ashtray. Nobody smoked, but at least I could tell them that. But and stick figures. But she's really can turn things beautiful. People driving down the road go, look at that. So I was thinking about you, Steph, and Tank with you guys. They got two incredible sons, Linda, that are scouts. Eagle Scouts.
Yeah, so
yeah, you've been following them, and how in homeschooling, my mind started to run like homeschooling, how Steph was stuff like that and helping students that way and encouraging all of them. That's something I thought of. Guys, ask her questions where she's come from on that too, because she's done some amazing things.
Brenda, you said so much good in there, but I have a mom who's an artist, very good hand sketching, painting. She had a graphics design business, very successful. So I was always extremely intimidated to do art because my mom was so good at it. But there's a few things I heard in you that was, you know, you were surrounded by all these passions that your parents had, and you developed a love for that. And then you also gave that love to your children. And it's such a beautiful thing. And obviously you guys have a gift for it, but you were able to use it for purpose. And I think that is so important. If we're all going to be passionate about different things, but if we can just embrace that and go after it, there is always enough space for a great artist or a great musician or whatever. And I see it in my sons. And I know that when you give them art, whether it's music or whatever, it uses the other sides of their brain, and it allows them to actually have better development. So in homeschooling, I've learned a lot of that. And so I've tried to embrace it, even scared for them, because I don't feel as talented in that area, right? But I just love you can hear your passion, and it's really beautiful. And on a side note, okay, we know who you are, we know who your daughter was, so we wore all of our Disney because we're complete Disney freaks. Chris got his Peter Pan. Like, oh, it's a problem.
It's everywhere. Disney owns everything.
You know, I recognize your daughter's work. She's very talented. I mean, you're very talented too. Your stuff is not so much the Disney style. She's like that funky Disney stuff that you see, the Vinylmation and all that.
Yeah. It's I mean, everybody in the family has a different style. My oldest daughter, who does gorgeous graphic design, she actually works for Hasbro, and she does well. They want her to do more business things. She doesn't want to. she has a master's degree in public art administration. And because a friend of mine really had started that master's degree program, halfway through it, Candace said, "I don't like this, Mom. I'm not the administrator." I thought, this is a lot of money. And she said, "I'd rather be, you know, the artist than the administrator." But she has joined her administration skills into everything she's done. And she's a great illustrator, she's a great graphic designer, like my dad was. And as far as, and painting skills they got from my mom, she was a great designer too. But once you're around things, the osmosis creeps in to what you do. It's so funny. I saw my speaking of folk art, my dad had retablos from Mexico, where you would have, say, the Virgin of Guadalupe, or you'd have Jesus, and it's like a triptych. You have a center figure, you have side pieces, and they're around the studio. We inherited a studio from my folks, which is a whole house. It's a house in back of my grandfather's house. Wow. And Candace lives in the front house. And then we all use a studio or parts of the studio, and it was a saving grace during COVID, because my son-in-law and daughter worked from computers back there. But I at one point my daughter started doing these retablos, but they weren't like Virgin of Guadalupe. They had other crazy little creatures in there they called them voodoo dollies, and they were these funny little dolls with pins sticking in them. I mean, it sounds gross, but it was funny. It was really, I thought, well, I'll be darned. This is where this graduated to, into these weird little things. But they've made a lot of other creatures, other figures, animated looking figures, and they put them in these retablos that are made out of wood. So they learn, they know how to use a bandsaw. Terry gave them a tool set as soon as they were able to use it. And so they can hang their shows. They can, you know, saw stuff, make stuff out of, and what's Terry doing here?
Oh,
we got an Amazon.
Pay no attention to the man in the background. Pay no attention to the man in the background.
The boxes. So with Terry's help, they learned a lot of structural stuff. Even when my oldest daughter wanted a little Fiat for graduation, which was in the fix it again, Tony. Yeah, that's the thing. That was the one. And he said, "I think first car." Yes. What is much a problem for you? Is it? Terry said,
They all were.
They all were. Yeah. He said, "I'm not doing this unless you help me rebuild the engine." And so there they were underneath this thing. Yes, taking out the pistons, these horrible looking pistons. And she drove around this little thing, got a few tickets. Yeah. But
wasn't her fault, though.
It wasn't her fault. No. but she doesn't have it anymore. We probably should have kept it somewhere. But we have two Model A's, an old 66 Jaguar with a nose. Whoa. that Candace got in an accident with. That Terry rebuilt. And so we got lots of projects. And it just goes to show you that you can do what you need to do. If you want to do it and you want to learn how to do the cars, or there's a reason to do the cars, and your dad says you have to.
It helps.
But there's just so much creativity in you that a lot of times it's very intimidating for artists in particular. If you want to be like a full-time make your own money from art person, that takes some doing. They don't teach that in art school, or at least they didn't. Maybe right. They do now. They didn't before. No. So when my parents left the studio and all these, they did enormous murals on doors that were going to go in corporate situations. They left them to the family. And I thought, I know nothing about art marketing. Wow. Because I was brought up to be a teacher, and I got the teaching credential partially through USC, but then I went on to Occidental College because we were living here in Eagle Rock where Oxy is, and I was going to finish up, and I thought, well, I should go somewhere close to home. But then my parents became ill. They started getting older. My dad had a stroke. At first I had children. I found out I was pregnant. Didn't think I was going to get pregnant. Just, you know, there was this thing going on, you know, women that are educated and in college, they can't have children. It just doesn't work. And I thought, okay, well, I guess I'll just, found out why I was feeling bad while teaching.
That's what happened. Puppets
and drama and puppetry and crafts in summer at Glendale Parks and Rec. I wasn't dying, really. I was pregnant. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
And I wanted to raise my children myself. And so I had the two daughters. And so our house was evolved around a lot of art. And when they were sick, but they were capable of doing something, I'd say, well, let's paint one of your walls. Maybe we need a vine, giant vine, so that, you know, the giant has to go up the vine to go get the golden goose. And I just start letting them paint what they wanted on the wall. And they had a great time. And
Paul and I did that, and I'm sure that's taken wrong, but we always got in trouble. Big trouble.
Big trouble. Yes, you did. Yes.
My parents didn't appreciate my artistic talents. At all. I painted a wall. It was because I drew something on it.
Oh.
Yeah, they made you. Yeah.
Oops. For your art.
You got caught, huh?
See, they just didn't understand like you did. I should have had a mom
there's creative people and I got to understand them.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, you, go ahead.
I'm sitting here thrilled that your idea and the truth about your gift being an expression of God's creativity. You read the verse out of First Peter, but I'm reminded in Exodus when the people came across and God gave them instructions about the temple and the tabernacle and all those sort of things, and then He says. At the end of 35, right? It says that God gave them gifts for engraving, tapestry, for creating cloth, for painting, the stonesmith. It said God gifted all of them in order that they might be useful in basically building the tabernacle, but they went on after that. So the idea was everything they were to create was in line with what God wanted, and each one of those things were designed to express God's presence and His sovereignty and His holiness, So yeah, all those gifts were given to them by God to do those things. And I, you know, mm-hmm. Linda, back to your point. I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that people forget that it's, you know, that that these creative things we have are God given. It's not something we came up with, and it's always designed to for us to marvel at the sort of the majesty and beauty of God. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if it's a painting or mute. Why does the music move you so much?
I mean, well, exactly.
Why does it do things to your brain? You know,
yeah.
I think it's a brilliant, I mean, one of those amazing things that God has given us. And God bless you for it. Wow. Because I don't have that gift.
Well, you know, the fact of even enjoying it.
Yes.
I mean, there's some music that I will hear that absolutely just the word gobsmacked. Have you heard the English one? I call it godsmack. But it just gets into your core and it just goes through you.
Yes.
That it is so beautiful. I know one of Leonardo's quotes, and I saw it at the Reagan Library. They had an exhibit of his things, of his inventions. And he said that music was the sister of visual art. They just moved together. And all these things, they move together. I discovered when we were, when Joe and I were going to school, I was in biology class, and I don't know, I was home with a sinus condition, which I always had, but I was having to do homework, and I looked at this new book that we had called BSCS Green, and I still think I bought the book, and the way they presented it was that everything was related. From the, you know, the smallest cell, the atom, to and it would influence everything else as it went along into bigger creatures, you finally get into the human body. Everything relates to something else, it affects something else, and the whole, it just hit me like a brick. And that I said, all the way out to the cosmos, everything influences something else. And that's the way it was designed.
Linda, that is so cool. Tank's got a new book, Linda. Tank, tell Linda a word. Share with the audience a word about that new book, because that's right where she is. Your new book you're working on.
Oh, good. Did you know about that book?
So, I have the blessing of having an undergrad degree in biochemistry. So I look at the world, begin looking at the world in molecules, enzymes, on up to bigger molecules, right? And then I get into medical school and I look at the body and I start to look at cells becoming organs becoming systems, and how they fail, and how they work, and how to fix them. And then I get into surgery, where I mechanically get to alter things for the same reason. So I've just been blessed with a world view, a universe view of life and God's creation from elements to existence.
Amen. Yeah,
he's actually a very good artist too. He won't talk about it, but he's very good.
I would be surprised. Crayola crayons. And,
crayons, yeah. Crayons are great. Crayons are great.
Yeah. So how have you been able to blend your talent and gift in a Christian way? Do you have things that you've done that you felt were Christian motivated or somehow inspired by? Or where was the link?
Basically, you know, with this whole creative thing, things strike you. It's that kind of aha moment that they even talk about in Oriental, you know, religions and Buddhism, and in any religion, they talk about you being struck with these aha moments. And so I kind of go on those sometimes. Right now, although I've done all kinds of media, because for teaching, I got a teaching credential for art. at SC and Oxy, and then really didn't use it because I was taking care of my parents, and then Terry's parents, we were taking care of them. And I kind of switched gears into doing art and figuring out how am I going to sell all these other things and art marketing. But I was still doing, I was creating something for the community, actually. One of those boxes. It was actually a trash can, which I've convinced them now they need to be planters. I do not want trash in those things. You know, they now have city trash cans, and now these beautiful, I did mine in ceramic and mosaic. I learned mosaic things. My dad had me make a table because we needed a table. I did designs of the community. I figured this is going to go in the community. It should reflect the community and the neat things about it. One thing is the Eagle Rock. There actually is a huge rock that looks like an eagle went right into it. And so I made that out of clay, and I realized how much I like clay. And, you know, if I gave you each a lump of clay, you would have more fun. You know, you just ooze it around in your fingers. And, you know, it just feels good. I don't throw pottery. I have my friend that fires my stuff. He is the potter. Excellent. I said, I'll buy his stuff. But mine is sculpture. And so I did that can that had different things about Eagle Rock around it. And the paintings on the utility boxes around it, I wore. Oh, I was telling Joe that I wore my tux. Yeah, I had a picture. This is my outfit. You know, with paint all over it. This is my beautiful outfit, and you know, I could have worn that. But the pictures I sent him, I was dressed up like that because I painted and did a stenciling manner that my dad had taught me. That was like, almost like airbrush of clouds and mountains. And again, the Eagle Rock and the city hall there. We did have a city hall. We were once our own town, and then LA convinced us to be part of LA. But with better schools, better water, blah 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 blah, blah. And taxes. Yes, taxes. But we do have a city hall, and it's wonderful that we still have it. So the councilman asked me to do that one right there at the city hall, and then they asked me to do one at the corner of Colorado Boulevard, you know, where the Rose Parade goes down. Well, it comes back through Eagle Rock and is our main street. And I it was right on Colorado in a side street. And the second box was Colorado and Eagle Rock Boulevard. And it says Eagle Rock, you know, like LA's hometown. So I did it in mind that it promote the community and not something else. Other people did other wonderful things. And it gave artists an opportunity to dress up the community. I mean, some of the sculptures that I've made of my own, I've made the last one was La Reina de Los Angeles. I'll put it on my Facebook thing. It's an angel with wings, and she has she's carrying like the Christ in her tummy, and she has, it's fabric and ceramic, and she kind of, she's on a structure, but she floats. She doesn't have legs. She has fabric and she's floating. So I like that kind of thing. I did another one that was called Earth Mother that is a full gosh, I don't know. I guess it's a 7-foot structure in pieces. And I started out with the idea of Earth Mother. They always talk about Earth Mother. And she has like, she has a bird nest underneath her neck. And she has like bird-like eyes. And she has sticks and twigs coming out of her head and feathers. And her hands, her arms are like wings. There's a, in Indian dancers, like Radha hands. It's a beautiful, graceful form. And I did, I started out with a head, and I've done mainly a lot of heads of women and women healers of different cultures. There's one I did that is of a Native American descent. And another one was of like Tibetan. Women fascinate me and their strength and what they do. So I kind of tend to do women facial things. I used to do masks that you could wear, but now I do them in ceramic. So it's heavy. You can't wear it.
And then we were looking up your art, and some of those masks you have made are really stunning.
I don't know exactly where it came from, but we always, during Halloween, you know, the parents said, okay, you have to make your costume, make a mask or make something. And so I did those, and my girls were doing an art show at this art center. And now my oldest daughter, who's the designer, she's now again chairman. She was the first chairman they had, and we've circled around, and the new executive director, after we did the home show, she said, I want you to come back on the board. And she's chairman of the board. And so we're back where we started there, and I'm the liaison person between groups in the community, because the community interweaves itself. That's where I got into art and community, because I used to do murals for the grammar school, so I could be involved with my daughters in grammar school and make sure that the kids were getting some art stuff at the grammar school. And it was close by, which was really neat. I mean, when they wanted to do busing, I said, no. I want to stay here. There's already an eclectic group of kids. What are you doing? And so parents can be there and do things with the kids. And right. So I did murals. I have the strange thing is, I opened
Linda,
this.
Linda, I got to jump and you take that one. If you take that one more point, I'm watching my
I know.
Clock here, and then I'm going to run something over to Paul, but I didn't really interrupt that point. If you get that point, otherwise we got about 5 minutes, and I wanted to kick it back. Yeah, no, we had 2 hour run.
I just had to tell you that I became the Chamber of Commerce president. What, you know, I was not planning on this, but I made this shirt. And Joe knows about them. While I was taking care of my parents, I opened a shop and I made maps of towns. And this one was Eagle Rock. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can see it. And Joe's got a Glendale one, because I found out people love their towns. They love their town. And I took it to the gift show, and I've made ones in Utah and in different places, even Arizona. And found out marketing and doing all that stuff was something to be reckoned with as well. But people love them. They love their town. So I got more and more involved in the town. And I while I was doing this, I found consultants that came over to our town in Eagle Rock and could help us rebuild, because we'd gone through the mallification of America. Malls sucked all of the business out of the old towns. And they became wastelands almost. Ours was looking pretty sad. So it really bothered me. So I said, okay, I'm going to take this job and get a consultant over here. And I got some money from the councilman, got it from Oxy for a study. And of course, everybody was a naysayer. Oh no, it's just going to be on the shelf. You're never going to use it. No, we used it. And it started, you get a buzz going on your town. They're over America. There are Main Street programs. Joe, the guy you wanted me to get a hold of, and yeah. he runs a whole huge, you know, in Texas. And I was in part of one in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where they did sculptures on street corners to rebuild their downtown. And you make them into people-friendly places where somebody can walk their dog and go ahead and have a cup of coffee and meet their neighbors. But it takes a lot of time, and it takes a grassroots love of a community. And I became involved in, the Art Center I was chairman of as well, and then went over to the Women's Club, which is a national registry building. We got that done, and it's a 100-year-old Craftsman gem, but it needs love and care. It's 100 years old, and so I'm still working with them. And
that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Paul, we got like 3 minutes. Paul, you have a thought?
You know what? I was sitting here theologing. It was so much fun. And Linda, I want to thank you for everything that you've shared. You've heard the phrase "beauty's in the eye of the beholder."
Yeah. Is that
right? I'm a wonderful art appreciator. I'm reminded of a Charles Schulz peanut strip where Lucy and Linus and Charlie Brown are lying on their backs on a hill looking up at the clouds. And he said, "Linus, what do you see?" He says, "Oh, I see Moses, the great lawgiver, you know, standing on the top of Mount Sinai with the tablets in his hand. Well, how about you, Lucy?" Lucy said, "Well, I see the Apostle Paul standing on Mars Hill defending the faith." And how about you, Charlie Brown? What do you see? He said, "Well, I see a horsey and a ducky, but I think I'm going to change my mind." There are two art forms that I have gained an appreciation for, and they're odd in a sense. One is graffiti. I'm amazed at what can be done with graffiti.
It's gorgeous.
Tattooing. Really? There's a show called Ink Master. I'm amazed what these people can do with ink on a body. Which leads me to a question, and maybe you can answer this. Do you think that in our public school systems today, in our structured learning, do you think that creativity is stifled in our schools? You know, is there more of an effort to try and get everybody to just to be on the same page and not be so creative?
Linda, got 1 minute. Go for it.
One minute.
Answer that.
Absolutely. I mean, they kind of ignore it, you know, and that's why I would get involved with schools and help my own kids' schools. And I think that they're making a huge mistake, because creativity is the essence of human beings in one way or another, you know, and if you're not developing that, I mean, becoming a great mechanic, you know, becoming, you know, whatever it is. Like you design a town, you put all the parts together that you know of it, the transportation, the look of the buildings, the architecture, we put art in the community. It all works together to make something better and beautiful. And if kids don't feel that they can do that, that's a rotten shame. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I did some teaching actually at Glendale High School. Joe, I was going to show you our yellating sweater, but I ran out of time.
I'm sorry.
It's an enormous part of life that should not be taken lightly. People don't travel just to go over and see the spreadsheets at some other country. They go over to see the art, the culture, the food, You know, the music.
Oh, I hate jumping in here, Linda. I hate jumping in, but I have time. I'm so sorry. Yeah, they're gonna pull the plug and then we disappear and they can't find us for 3 days. We're gone, you know. It's really dangerous. Let's remember, look up our show, folks. Look up the show and remember, go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can go to the archives. The show will be there. You can watch it during the week. A lot of our people tune in and watch the shows during the week this way. And once again, folks, you guys support this program. We have a man right now that was willing to match up to $1,000 donations that you give in gifts so that we could stay on the air. And we want you to know we could sure use that help. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That was it on 78 instead of 33 and a third for you that are old. But anyway, that's how that works. Linda, thank you so much. And give Terry a hug for us and pet the dogs. They were really good. Ron, thanks, brother. We'll be talking. You bet. All of you, man.
Okay. Love talking with all of you about all of this. Because it all relates.
With us.
It's all interwoven. You know, all work together. Finish there that book.
Thank you, Linda.
I want to read it.
There we go. All right, we'll get that book out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless you all, and I hope you get lifted up tonight. We look forward to seeing you next week, and we'll look forward to you watching the program all through the week. See you later on.
Sign up. You know, pumpkin pie.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.